This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamotu, MPR. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. For this episode, we have a slightly different format. We have the speeches from the Palmerston North RSA Youth Speech Competition with an introduction by Joe Hollander.
This is the Palmerston North Return and Services Association, or Palmerston North RSA Youth Speech Competition. We kicked this off for a trial in 2019, and the purpose of the competition was really to increase the awareness of military heritage and history within the Palmerston North youth community, and also select youth speakers for the future Armistice Day and Anzac Day events run by the City Council in conjunction with the Palmerston North RSA. We trialled it in 2019. We had six schools participating, all secondary schools out of the 10 secondary schools in the Palmerston North area. We had about, I think it was about 13 participants previously, and it was very good. But unfortunately, in 2020, we had to can it because of COVID. We weren't able to run it. We also tried to run an essay competition, but unfortunately, the young folk are not too keen on writing essays, more particularly putting speeches together. So we ran it again, in fact, on the 17th of August, which was the night before we went into lockdown a couple of months ago. So we were very lucky to sneak in. Unfortunately, we only had two secondary schools participating, providing seven contestants, and the four place getters, that is a first, second and third, and a highly commended, were very, very good. So we've now got our speakers for the upcoming Armistice Day service next month, and then the two city services for Anzac Day next year. And our fourth place getter will probably be standing by for as a first reserve or for Armistice Day next year, depending on whether we are able to run it next year or not. So that's the background. Two things coming up. One will be the presentation of the recipient awards and the school awards, and that'll take place after the Armistice Day service on the 11th of November at the Palmerston North Conference and Function Centre. Because we're still on alert level two, that's going to have to be a controlled event. And we're going to try and do it next year if we can find some more support. But as you can appreciate, it takes quite a bit of effort to put this together. And certainly the chair of the Manawatu Whanganui History Teachers Association, Bronwyn Cook, who's the head of department at Freiburg High School, has been working very hard, along with Remy Waldtufel Irvine from the Palmerston North Youth Space and myself, to try and put this together. And we're trying to find some more assistance to ease the workload. We also have the Palmerston North RSA Trust, who provide the majority of the prizes for the awards, along with Bunnings here in Palmerston North. The theme that we asked them to focus on is on Anzac Day, but more particularly whether there is any familial connection with service in either First World War, Second World War, or conflict since. Any members of their family who might have served or are still serving, and their perspective on, you know, what these events mean to them personally and to the younger generation. Of the seven speakers that we had, the first place getter was Leo Mwapi from Palmerston North Boys High. Second was Lily Tavendale from Freiburg High School. Third was Matt Fian from Freiburg High School. And the highly commended was Sophie Cumming, also from Freiburg High School. And just before you hear the final speaker, you can hear the mobile phone alerts coming through for the COVID warning moving into level 4.
So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Emily Connell to take the...
Good evening, everybody. My name is Emily Connell, and I am a year 10 in Freiburg High School. To me, Anzac Day didn't mean much, I'll be honest. I understood what it presented and why it was important, but it just never really held much significance with me. I wonder if I thought that way because I wasn't taught about what happens at war and how different our lives would be. Or maybe it's because any personal connections I had to the war died long before I was alive. Or maybe it was just that I never took an interest in it. But as I get older and I'm getting to the age many people went off to war, including my great-grandfather, it's made me think more about its importance. Gilbert Connell was born and raised in Scotland. He left school at 11. At 15, he lied about his age and joined the British Navy and fought in World War II. He lost two brothers in the war, one fought in Everett Lancaster and the other was a commander. My great-grandfather was lucky and survived. He then moved to New Zealand, met my great-grandmother, and then went to fight in the Korean War. He survived and made it home. I'm 15 years old, I'm still in school, and I've never even been in a fight, let alone a war. Ordinary people like my great-grandfather showed incredible sacrifice, heroism, and bravery when they volunteered to fight for our freedom. Another way in which Anzac Day has become significant to me is through my connection to my school. Each year, our principal gives us the same speech. A speech about how Freiburg High School got its name. It was named after Lord Bernard Cyril Freiburg. Lord Freiburg wasn't very academic, but he was notoriously good at swimming. He started his military training as a student at Wellington College in the School of Cadets. In the waterfront strike in Wellington in 1913, Freiburg was made a special constable, and he helped the police stop the strike. In 1914, he went to Mexico, where he heard about the First World War. Freiburg joined the Hood Battalion in the British Royal Navy and fought against the Germans in Belgium. In 1914, his ship was sent to Gallipoli. He swam from his ship to the shore, where he built campfires on the beach, and then swam back to his ship. He did this to trick the Turkish into thinking the British had landed there, but in fact, they landed in another bay. After that, Freiburg went to fight on the Western Front against the German army. He was wounded 4 times in 24 hours, but he refused to leave his battalion. When the First World War ended, Freiburg had been promoted to Brigadier General, which meant he commanded a whole division. In World War II, Freiburg was made commander of the New Zealand forces in the Mediterranean. Later, he was the Corps Commander of North Africa. Freiburg was then made a commander of the New Zealand forces in Italy. He was awarded 4 DSOs and a Victoria Cross. He was a great soldier and an even greater leader. So what does Anzac Day mean to me? To me, it means that no matter who you are or how ordinary you think you are, with courage and bravery, big or small, even the most ordinary people can become widely regarded heroes. Heroism and sacrifice comes in all shapes and sizes, from people like my great-grandfather Gilbert to Lord Bernard Freiburg. But they all teach us that courage is not being fearless, but being able to overcome fear and being willing to face it. E grotto dam anima est spes est. As long as there is life, there is hope.
Our next speaker is Sophie Cumming. Welcome, Sophie.
I'm Sophie Cumming from Freiburg High School. Anzac Day, a day when New Zealand becomes one. Observed on April 24th, it commemorates the landing in Gallipoli to not only pay tribute to those on the front lines, but to all those affected back at home in the aftermath. It commemorates those who have suffered and were lost due to the war. Every day we lay flowers for those who have fallen and awaken early in the morning in respect for the soldiers and their experiences. I wanted to dedicate my speech to my great-grandfather. I wanted to show how important this day is to families across New Zealand and how it joins us as a nation. Anzac Day is a day to bring the entirety of New Zealand together, no matter who we are. It has been 105 years since the first Anzac service was held. 105 years of such a momentous day in our history. The day in which we remember the acts of sacrifice and bravery. We hear the stories of those around us, those who experience the harsh brunt of the war and those who are left in the loss and tragedy. It places respect onto the men who fought for New Zealand. Anzac Day holds a special place in people's hearts, a special place in my heart where I, someone who never had to experience the pains of war, can stand in honour of those who did. Every step that New Zealand soldiers took supported the Allies and New Zealand values. Anzac Day remembers this, draws the people of New Zealand together in a day we all respect and continue to honour. My great-grandfather fought on the front lines of World War I. During his time there, he was shot through the ribs and nearly left for dead, till one of his fellow soldiers was able to make it over to him and get him sent to bat. I grew up hearing the stories of his time during the war, how proud he was of what he'd done, and how my family would go out to the dawn service every year with him. It always stuck with me as a way to honour him after he died, that even though I'd lost him, Anzac Day was the day of the year in which I felt close to him, where I could remember what he'd done and respect that he had for his fellow soldiers. To me, Anzac Day gives me the ability to reconnect with my great-grandfather and my family history. Anzac Day also brings us closer to our Australian peers. It shows us as a united front and strengthens our bonds, something which plays great importance today with the issues we are currently having and the animosity between us. It brings a reminder of the bonds we share as countries and as people and connects us by our experiences in a way we cannot break. Anzac Day plays honour to New Zealanders and Australians alike and helps pay respect to the friendships made in the trenches. This, to me, also plays a significant part in what makes Anzac Day so important, that alongside bringing Kiwis together, Anzac Day brings New Zealand and Australia together in a way not often seen anymore. What my great-grandfather fought for in World War I was the freedom and safety of New Zealand, the ability to come home to a family, to the civilians of New Zealand. That, to me, is what Anzac Day is. Anzac Day is the moment I am given to reflect upon the past, upon the sacrifices made for the betterment of New Zealand. Anzac Day is the day where we come together and promise to make a better future, and therefore I will await it with the same joy as my great-grandfather.
Hi, my name's Matt, 16, and I'm year 12 at Freiburg. I'd like to dedicate this speech to my late grandfather. When thinking to myself what Anzac Day means to me, one word comes to my mind: remembrance. It sounds obvious, right? The very idea of Anzac Day is to remember those who fought valiantly and gave their lives for a prosperous life to go back home. But I feel as time has passed, we've neglected to remember those still with us. My grandfather, Dave Fearn, following the legacy of his father, a World War II veteran, joined with J-Force, the New Zealand contingent of troops sent to occupy Japan after World War II, and later valiantly and proudly volunteered to be sent to Korea in 1950. When he came back after the war's end, deafened by the artillery fire, he was forgotten. He was nothing but a statistic. 1,500 soldiers fought as a part of K-Force. 1,500 soldiers experienced the horrors of war. 1,500 soldiers were expected to suck it up and get back to work, but a lot could not, resulting in skyrocketing rates of post-traumatic stress. The same thing happened again in Vietnam, then in the Persian Gulf, Iraq, Afghanistan, East Timor. Our troops are being sent into foreign nations with no plan for what to do with them when they get back. In Australia, an estimated 500 veterans have taken their lives since 2001, but New Zealand keeps no track of such information, making it hard to grasp the real scale of this issue. The University of Otago concluded that a third of the 1,817 soldiers and veterans questioned portrayed symptoms of post-traumatic stress, but that's about as far as we can get. The social expectations of veterans within society is so high that many consider it unmanly or cowardly to seek help for serious psychological damage. Michael Walker, a Gulf War veteran who attempted suicide in 2015, recalled, "You were told the psychologist is over there and you can go see him if you want, or you can sit here and you can drink a bottle of rum. No one got up to see the psychologist." When you think of Anzac Day, I'm sure that you probably think about stories of heroes, honour and glory, the triumph of good over evil, but we don't seem to see too much of that triumph of good over evil recently. When my granddad returned from Korea, he wasn't given a hero's welcome. those stories of honour, those stories of glory, they died with him because he came back to a nation ungrateful for his service, a nation ungrateful for his sacrifice, a nation unwilling to give him the support he needed. He was a decade late to the party. This isn't just about my granddad, though. This trauma is something that all soldiers experience, past, present, and future. We need to respect this. And not just because they're not fighting Nazis and storming trenches doesn't mean they should go forgotten. Anzac Day means so much more than that. Lest we forget. Thank you.
Hello everyone, I'm a year 13 in Prefect of Palmerston North Boys High. My name's John. They went with songs to battle. They were young, straight of limb, true of eye, steady and aglow. They were staunch to the end, against odds uncounted. They fell with their faces to the foe. On the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, the bells had sounded. The slaughter was over. 16 million had given up their lives, many more scarred for the rest of theirs. Our soldiers had endured the horrors and privations of war on the slopes and gullies of Gallipoli, in the sludge of the Western Front, and the barren lands of the Middle East. But as those bells rang, a wave of joy was relayed back to the people of Aotearoa. A wave of relief, a wave of realization, the wave of a new reality. Because as these men made their way back home, the ships carried less than before. Nearly 1 in 6 seats laid empty, filled only by the shadows of a husband, a brother, a friend, or a boy. And those 18,000 lives lost over the course of World War I cast a lingering shadow on the long white cloud. It hid in the sorrow of households, in the background of bar banter, and in the minds of those who were left to grow old. Fundamentally, the lives these soldiers returned to had changed in the months or years that had passed, but as had their outlook on the slopes and gullies back home. It had become a war within yourself that never goes away. However, let today be a rally of commemoration for the sacrifices over 100 years ago and a reminder of the lessons learned. It seems that my generation continues to succumb to a world of polarization. Yet that means the legacy of the generation that lived during the First World War maintains its importance to this day. A legacy that seeks peace, courage, and socially distanced unity in the face of profound adversity. I can only hope that the people of New Zealand, my generation, and our future generation, continues to uphold this legacy of the past even when it is not November 11th.
Next speaker is Leo Crichton. The floor is yours.
Ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests and judging panel, I greet you and welcome you and thank you for coming. My name is Leo Robin Wape Matonkanchi, and I'm a year 10 at Palmerston North Boys High School. Why do we find ourselves where we do each year on April the 25th? All across our country, the flag is lowered, our anthem is sung, and wreaths are laid at sacred shrines. But on these memorials, there is more than just names engraved. On these graves are the roll of honor. I look around to see the crosses of all those we have lost and the faces of the few we have left with us today. Countless are their casualties, yet immeasurable is their spirit. Though the years have gone by, these brave men did not forget of their brothers. We walk with them to lay our wreaths in solidarity, lest we forget. We look at the names and remember April the 25th, 1915, when the Anzacs first landed at Gallipoli, where over 2,000 would lay down their lives. We remember the Somme, where no other division endured longer periods of unbroken fighting. We remember the countless battles fought in their time for the freedom of ours. The valor of men such as Sub-Lieutenant James Kelly, affectionately known as Jim, an old boy and true hero to all Palmerston North Boys High and all this city. Jim Kelly, as a young man, attended Palmerston North Boys High School from 1938 to 42. Only a year out of school, he answered the bugle's call at the tender age of 19. He served as a Navy man on the HMS Oceanway. Despite having no prior experience at sea, Jim stood forward to do his part for his country. He served his country with pride and money, remaining resilient to serve all across Europe until his eventual return home at the end of the war in 1945. For years afterward, he came to his old school to hear the roll of honor and to lay the wreath in remembrance of his fallen brothers. Without knowing, this year, I watched as Jim laid the wreath for the last time. He shared with us his personal memories of some of the 203 of his schoolmates that died in the World Wars. Lest we forget them. Jim sadly passed away on the 8th of July, 2021. But Jim's spirit and legacy lives on. It lives on because the Anzac spirit lived in him. It lives on in the men and women we are fortunate enough to have with us today, and in the legacy of the over 70,000 who took their last stand for this country in the First and Second World War. Lest we forget their valor, their bravery, their stoicism, and their patriotism. They are why we find ourselves where we do each April the 25th. They are why we declare, lest we forget. Thank you.
Is Lily Tabitha.
Hi everyone, my name's Lily Tavendale. I'm 14 years old and I'm a year 10 at Frybrook High School. Can you imagine going to war at just 18? Can you imagine ending your friend's life because they were so gravely wounded? Can you imagine being a prisoner of war for 4 years, being only fed sweet soup and oranges? There were a few examples of what my ancestors had to go through during the wars. My great-great-grandpa, Henry Booth Prince, went to World War I. The things he used to say about the war was that the rats, the cold, the wet, the mud, and the smell of the trenches were all things he had to deal with daily. He had to kill his friend because of the wounds he had received, since there was nothing to keep him out of pain. In World War II, my great-granddy and great-pop fought. Grandy, Lindsay Tostevin, was 18 when he went to war. My great-pop, George Tavendale, said that on Crete, which is a place in Greece, so many parachutes were deployed from time to time that the sky appeared black. My granddad spent 3 months in Germany to train there. My dad, Graham Tavendale, went to Iraq for about a year to do some training for their benefits. In the 26 years that he spent in the army, he's been to Australia, Singapore, and Dubai. The reason I think that Anzac Day is so important is it reminds you of family members that may have passed in the war. It gives people a perspective of what so many people had to lose to give us freedom. It's reminding everyone of the people that went through pain, torture, and sacrifice. It's giving the time they deserve for the time that they gave during the war. A widely shared sentiment on social media last year that I think sums up Anzac Day is this. This is a day not of celebration, but of national memory. It is a day when we learn and learn again of the horror of purposeless war. It is a day for looking after your mates, cherishing your home, your neighbourhood, and your family. It is a day for realising how rare this wonderful country of ours is and how precious it is. We are lucky. Lucky for the advantages we have been given, the food on our tables, the shelter we have been blessed with. Call yourself lucky that we do not have to go through the torture they did. They grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not worry them, nor the years condemn at the going down of the sun, and in the morning we will remember them. Let's see the dead. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you're a fan of NPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwifruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.